Welcome to the Destined for Success podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and this podcast used to be called New Manager Media, Manage Right from the Start. Many of the concepts are the same, but there's a little shift. There's a shift because I know we are all destined for success, and I want to help you find the fastest, smoothest way to reach your highest best as quickly as possible. Join me in today's episode where you're going to come up with new ways to build your skills and influence others to make the impact you desire to make. I look forward to connecting with you soon. Welcome to Destined for Success. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and I've just been having the funnest conversation ever with Kathleen Gallagher. And Kathleen is a former HR leader turned yoga teacher, mind body coach, and community dance party organizer. And I love that so much because you just don't know what path life is going to take you on. And today, like, her talk title is Positive Path Now, offering simple tools to help you feel more alive. This is all so exciting for me. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jennifer. I am a big fan of yours, and it has been so much fun just chatting with you before we started recording. So thank you so much for having me on. And I'm just ready to sort of jump in.
Okay. So I just before I hit record mentioned that sometimes it can be a little bit difficult as a speaker and trainer to break into the HR world of, you know, please invite me in to speak at your thing or train your people when you haven't really been in that. And you went, well, and so I stopped you there. So share your path, share your story, because I think you have so much wisdom to share with the audience. Oh,
thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah, I just retired last year from almost a 30-year career in human resources. And along the way, sort of behind that, was always sort of my yoga practice and some of these mindful practices that we'll talk about along the way here. But, you know, HR can be life-giving. HR can be life-taking. We used to always say the highs and lows of HR, right? Where you're hiring people, you're bringing them on, you're developing people, helping interns to grow, right? What could be more rewarding, except for when you have to do the firing part, right? And in, you know, a span of 30 years, you have sort of the ups and downs of the economy and the business that compresses and expands. So yeah, I've done all aspects of HR in my career, but my favorite part of HR was the developing of people, helping people to grow, especially young people, mentoring people that were coming up behind me. You know, my team probably, you know, didn't realize it at the time, but I was like always sort of trying to give my job away. It's like, I'm leaving eventually. You're going to need to do these things, right? And it was great because they had to rise up, right? Eventually. And I had a very sort of long exit. I had given my notice almost a year before I left. I had a strong desire to move into something else, right? This little business of mine called Positive Path Now, which is all around evaluating your core values, right? Looking at our daily habits. What does make you feel most alive, right? And I found there were many days in corporate, and I'm sure your listeners might relate to this, where I didn't feel my best in corporate. I was pretty stressed out, right? I was sort of, trying to deliver the calm, cool above the water, but what was happening below was quite stressful for me and difficult at times. And I desperately needed to have some of these wellness tools that were in my back pocket that I didn't always go and grab, right? Sometimes it was grabbing the glass of wine rather than going to the yoga class, right? Which most of us will do, right?
But what's the easiest fix? Oh, the wine.
Yeah, need the quick fix. But it was pretty cool to be straddling both worlds for quite a while. So there was a period of time in HR where I was teaching meditation in a big conference room. This is pre-COVID, of course, when we were all together. And we'd sit around this big board table where otherwise there were very serious meetings taking place. But at lunchtime, once or twice a week, we'd get together and we'd just do, maybe 15 minutes of closing our eyes, resetting, and doing some meditation in a space that wasn't always conducive to that kind of energy, if you know what I mean, right? So that was one little piece that we got to do. And the other thing I got to do for a few years in corporate was to teach yoga on property, right? We would go down to the kitchen after work, whether it was 5:30 or 6 o'clock, whenever the meetings ended, and whoever wanted to come to yoga could do some yoga with us on property. And the company that I was working for at the time purchased all the yoga mats and the blocks and the straps. And it was a really low cost investment for the employees, to sort of figure out some new ways to de-stress together, right? And so that was sort of, part of what was happening for me as I was thinking, what if I was to exit HR and move fully into the wellness space, right? Obviously, corporate pays. I made a great living. It was a wonderful career, no regrets. But it was time. It was time for me to pass that baton. The younger folks that were coming up behind me, they deserved a shot. I had my turn, really. And so since then, since I left corporate, I've, begun my practice. I'd been teaching and practicing yoga for the past 22 years, but I got more serious about coaching, kind of that one-on-one, which I had a lot of experience with, but I had gone back and got my coaching certification. I got my alcohol-free coaching certification, which was a big deal. Yeah, we're gonna have to talk about that. and other certifications, including one from the Belong Institute. I don't know if you know anything about Daybreaker events, but these are events. They're alcohol-free dance parties that happen in the morning. I'm talking like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning in New York City. I've been to one. I've been to a couple in Miami where we get together. There's a DJ. There's a lot of fun energy around. There's never any alcohol at these events. So it's called Daybreakers. But the woman who is behind this entire multi-million dollar organization, her name is Radha. And she introduced a certification called Community Builder or Architect Builder. And it was through the Belong Institute. So I couldn't wait to get certified with Radha. I just love what she was doing. I'm like, I want to lead these Daybreaker events, right? So it's kind of like yoga, which leads into a dance party. And, Radha being just the guru that she is, she figured out a way to design a certification program. So has these cohorts a couple times a year, and it is all designed around how do we build community? How do we get people back together again? Because this is like now post-COVID, right? And we need that, right? Myself included. We sort of like forgot how to be with people in person, and we got real comfortable at home behind the screen. So, those are some of kind of the highlights of things that I'm getting into now.
Well, I love that. And I have a dear friend, Hillary, who one day said, Jennifer, you just like to collect certificates and certifications. You need to stop that. Just implement, stop that. And then I felt very judged. It was like, oh, wait, do I have too many? Because I have a lot. I have a lot. But during
You
years, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not the only one.
do.
And I was speaking to somebody and, one of those spiritual type people, and she goes, you're a lifelong learner and you're never going to quit collecting certificates.
No.
Like
Are you
that's
Virgo? Are
your
you a Virgo by any
certification.
chance? Are
I'm
you a Virgo?
a Sagittarian, but I'm a projector in human design, if that matters.
Sagittarius, yes, you're my literary compliment, actually.
What
Yes.
are you? Are you a Leo? Oh,
I'm a Virgo. No,
a Virgo.
I'm a Virgo. And yeah, I became kind of addicted to those certifications too. When I got my first yoga certification was way back, right, 22 years ago. Then the second yoga certification. Then I'm like, oh, positive psychology. I want to study that. Let me get certified in that. And at some point somebody said to me, Kathleen, you have the credentials. You got to just get out there and do it. Right?
Do the thing in 12-minute increments.
Yes. Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah.
My gosh, I love that. And I love this idea of a dance party. And I've never heard of being, I wrote it down, I can't find it in my notes, but a certification in alcohol free.
It is
Like we get
relative.
certified not to drink.
You get certified as an alcohol-free coach to help other people who are struggling with their gray area drinking. So this is nothing to do with alcoholism or people who have a really serious problem who might need to go to rehab. Not that. It's kind of, we're taking care of ourselves, right? We're coming home, we're going to the gym, we're doing the yoga class, we're getting our hair done, we're picking out the right outfits, we're juicing, we're having a good diet. But then we also use alcohol. It's kind of like the one thing for me anyway that was kind of incongruent with the other life that I was living in all other aspects, right? And I realized for me, I was not feeling well, even with the smallest amount of alcohol. I would have a hangover before I even went to bed after a glass and a half of wine, right? Taking two Tylenol before I go to bed. And then that cycle, sort of waking up, feeling stressed out with the corporate job, of course, and not feeling my best. And I just really had to look at that. And so I started plugging into some podcasts and discovered there's a whole world of people out there talking about gray area drinking, whether it's your desire to reduce alcohol or not drink at all. I had some champagne on New Year's Eve and I enjoyed it. It was fantastic, right? I knew I wasn't going to feel my best the next day, but I planned for it, as opposed to what are the habits that I really want to reinforce that aren't going to take me away from feeling my best. Right, that habitual
That mindless,
wine,
like you walk home
mindlessness.
and get a glass of wine or a beer or whatever, just mindless.
It's so hard. You know, everybody wants to get together with you and have a drink. And it's not usually a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, right? It's usually everybody wants to go out for a drink and go, what else could we do together? Right. So, this is where the dance parties come in. This is where the yoga comes in. What can we do together where we feel like we're building some community and we're not having any alcohol? Right. Not to say we can never have any. My husband is a major wine aficionado, loves to go to the wine country, right? Collects wine. Certain things, you know, you want to be able to enjoy, but what is it that really gives life and what takes life away? And for me, I felt like alcohol was starting to really take away my life force. You know, as I'm getting older, I'm trying to think of everything I could possibly do to feel my best. And that was kind of the elephant in the room for me, right? So I did get that certification a couple of years ago. And that certification is a very specific piece of coaching where, let's say we were working together, you know, we'd come together and start to talk about, you know, what are your core values? What do you really value? Let's talk about your limiting beliefs, right? We have all grown up, every book, every TV show, every movie that you see, what are they doing? They're cheersing, they're toasting. If they're upset, they're going to the bar, they're having it. We've all been programmed to use alcohol to commiserate or to celebrate.
That and a piece of cake.
Amen
I
to the cake. All right. I am
mean,
all about the
people are
cake.
like, oh, I eat too much sugar, right? And it's like,
Yeah.
you do something good, you celebrate. You get an ice cream. I remember in high school, my friend did something good. I can't remember what it was. And our local state in North Texas ice cream place is called Brahms, and it's a family-owned company, and their ice cream is amazing. And I can remember I went and got her a hot fudge sundae, and you know, and then later she was like, man, I have a real problem with eating and I eat too much and I fight with my weight. And I'm like, oh wow. And I did what we all do. I brought you ice cream, right? Same thing with the alcohol. My grandfather on my mom's side was a pretty severe alcoholic for many years, and it impacted my mom greatly. So for the first years of their marriage, if my dad had a beer, my mom just would lose it. She thought he was going to be an alcoholic. So it was a long time before she learned you can have a drink and not be an alcoholic. And
Absolutely.
so, you know, is it genetic? Is it habit? Is it lifestyle? Who knows? I mean, like, there's all kinds of opinions on that, but I had a rule. Until I left my government job, I never had a drink before 5 in the afternoon under any circumstances. And it could be Saturday, it could be a party, it could be on vacation. Because
I didn't want to set myself up for that. Ooh, she has a drinking problem. Now, I've retired now. It doesn't matter quite so much. I have my own business, so I can moderate it however I want. But if I want to drink at noon, I'll have a beer at noon, whatever. But that can be a huge part of people's lives. And my husband and I bought a lake place many years ago, small little place. And I looked around and all the marriages that were struggling, it was alcohol related. And there, it wasn't alcoholism per se. It was they're drinking, and then you say things and do things that you shouldn't, couldn't, wouldn't, things escalate basically. So
Absolutely.
I love it
Absolutely.
because you can have a lot of fun with a Diet Coke and a glass of water.
I kind of realized that. I mean, I would have, relationships with people at work where we would laugh and we would have fun. We're at work. Of course, we're not drinking, right? And now, you start to become friendly with these people. Now we're going to get together on the weekend, let's say with our spouses, and then you're going to bring alcohol into the mix. And I realized years ago, it's like, I have a lot of fun with this person at work, stone cold sober. I don't need to bring any alcohol into it to enjoy these people, right? The biggest thing for me probably was the interruption of sleep. My sleep was horrible, right? And I've listened to your program about how important sleep is, right? I mean, I value sleep more than just about anyone you know. And so here I would go to sleep. I was able to fall asleep. But what happens, chemically with alcohol, once the alcohol wears off, it sort of wakes you up, right? There's a reaction happening in your body and your heart's pounding a little bit, and the worry and the stress or the anxiety starts to come, and you're laying there and you can't fall back to sleep until what, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and you fall back to sleep and you wake up and you're so fatigued, right? So that sleep interruptus is what I would call it. And I'm like, I cannot afford that. I need to be at my best for this big job that I had. And so it kind of started there. It was like coinciding with, stages of life as things were changing. I'm like, okay, let's see if I, remove the toxin. Boy, did my sleep improve. I am like an 8 or 9 hours a night every night without a problem, right? And you just wake up and you feel rested, and so then you start to feel like, well, I've got more energy. I actually have more time. There's more space. There's more capacity for me. And that was a big one. That was a big revelation when I realized I actually could handle more stress on the job or in the marriage, because I was, let's get real. And, even though my husband was still drinking, and he has a beer at night, or he'll have a glass at the most, two glasses of wine. Not a big drinker at all. And neither was I, but where I am in life with my size, where I am, my age, I'm sure has a factor to it. I just couldn't handle sort of any quantity was really becoming no good for me. And removing that also allowed a little more room for me to have a little more desserts, which I value more. I'd rather have the cake. I'd rather have the ice cream. If I'm gonna, calorie for calorie, I'm going to go with the vanilla milkshake over the beer. Right? So anyway, it's been a journey for me, and it's something that I feel like if there are other people out there who are struggling with this, it's not just you, right? It is something that we don't really get to talk about too much because there's a shame in it almost where you go, "Oh, I must be an alcoholic if I'm questioning my drinking." No, you're questioning your health. And what do you really want to give your body, your mind, your friends and family, even like more of you, just by reevaluating taking a toxic poison out of your routine?
Well, and I can't tell you how many bottles of liquor that I have because I had a drink and it was really good and I came home to make it and I made it like once. And so like I have all this alcohol. Why can't you get all this fun stuff in little bitty bottles? I have a bottle of some kind of chocolate. It's similar to a Bailey's type product, but it's chocolate. A friend brought over 6 years ago and it's still in my refrigerator. If beer goes bad, there's probably some bad beer in my refrigerator. Now, when I'm at the lake house where there's a party all the time, that's different. But I think it's what habit do you want to have? I just got off an 8-day cruise and I will say I consume some alcohol. possibly copious amounts on various evenings. It happened. But I got home last Tuesday night at midnight, and that's been over a week ago, and I haven't had any alcohol. Like, no, it just didn't fit, right? And I think there's a Thunder basketball game tomorrow night or tonight, and I'm probably gonna have beer. But it needs to be conscious. I think that's like the whole deal. Like, consciously, how is this impacting me? And is it impacting me in a positive way or negative way? So I love that. How do you work with people? What, like, I love that you have this whole like plethora. I love the word plethora and cornucopia. And if I can use them both in a day, it's like a hit. I haven't used them. So you have a plethora of things, a cornucopia, if you will, of certifications, which I love. Like, now you're my soul sister. And like, how do you work with people? Do you do group? Do you do one-on-one? Do you have something coming up, over the summer? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so right now I am working one-on-one with individuals. And the reason I say that is I believe so strongly in creating an individual plan. Every single person is coming from a different place. I have people who have never done any yoga whatsoever. They don't want to do that. It's not even going to be part of our program. Okay. I would love to have everyone who's going through my programs to have some level of movement in their day, whether, okay, we're going to commit to a walk, we're going to commit to maybe a bike ride or some yoga, maybe some chair yoga, right? So you have a very individual approach. Other people will say, I am not someone who could sit still and do meditation. Well, let's dig into that. Do you really understand what meditation is? Have you tried it before this way? Have you done any work with affirmations, or have you done any work with visualization? I'd love to take people through like a guided visualization meditation exercise, and we can record that together. And then it's something you can have maybe to help yourself fall asleep or help yourself in terms of your goal setting, right? The other thing that I love to do, depending on if people are open to it, is I'm sure you know about the emotional freedom technique. We can do some tapping, right? Where people are doing some tapping with some very positive affirmations while they're tapping, right? A way to switch the brain off from where it was in a stressful place. Let's bring ourselves back to the body. We're all living from the neck up for the most part, right? And there's a lot of stuff going on up there. We got to get people back into their bodies. Let's really see what it feels like to put your feet down on the earth and just to ground in a little bit. So the movement piece is really, really key to me. Doing journaling, doing reflection exercises. I have hundreds, if not thousands, of questions that we can take you through to just help you to sort of evaluate some of those limiting beliefs that we talked a little bit before. What was your story growing up? Was it just super common that people got older and didn't move as much, or people as they aged, maybe they did put on the extra pounds? Maybe they weren't their healthiest self in retirement, right? That's just a story, right? How do we sort of break that down and maybe change that? I love the expression to reframe, right? To help people to reframe their story, right? Through reflection, through journaling. My husband and I have a daily prayer practice, right? And part of that prayer practice is a spiritual reading. And then, we have individual prayers that we have written up for our marriage, for our friends, for our family, that sort of thing. And then we end it with a gratitude practice. I mean, it's a basic one, but how often are people really paying attention to all the things that we have in life? Look at us here in our comfy homes with the heat on, plenty of food in the refrigerator, right? Wow, we are blessed beyond measure. And there's a lot of people in this world who are suffering, and I think we have to remember all the things that we do have. And so I think that gratitude practice is something that can't be overstated to help people remember, especially when they're just in their head and they're spinning and they're super stressed. What are some things we could do to get you out of that state in 12 minutes or less, by the way? Okay. Absolutely. I could commit to that. Where you just have these little shifts. It has to be that. I don't believe in wholesale change. I don't believe in the radical diets. I don't believe in, oh, I'm going to go, I'm never going to have another drink again. You don't need to do that, right? What are the small shifts that we could do that are really going to make a difference?
I love that. And when you talk about the limiting beliefs and the stories I'm going to put out to the audience. I know someone and whenever the conversations get a little bit deep, not just like superficial, a little bit deep. Oh, pardon me. The same story about the childhood comes up again and again. And if you have that same story coming up again and again, you're holding on to it and it's creating the rest of your life. And so there are so many ways that EFT works. I do emotion code, body code. It works. Meditation works. Prayer works. I've never found anybody who has ever heard of this, but I was meeting with my preacher one time and I got married for 12 months and 11 days. And let me tell you, it was the worst 12 months and 11 days of my life. Don't be judgmental. It was like wrong decision from the get-go. And I went to see the preacher and I was like, my friends are really being judgmental because I'll go on like 2 dates with a guy, one lunch, one dinner, I'm out. Like if you don't throw me to death, I'm moving on. And I said, they think I'm a little too harsh. I should give people like more of a chance. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I was right. I'm just saying I was right. And he goes, well, you need to let go of all those emotions around because we dated for like 5 years before we got married. So I had plenty of clues not to do this. And he said, this is the Catholic healing of memories. And you get in a quiet space and you think about to the first time that that person hurt you and you kind of remember it and let that emotion bubble up a little bit. And then you pray that Jesus will take that away. And then you remember the event without the emotion. So when you retell the story, you're not being re-triggered. And I went, oh my God, that sounds great. How many times do I have to do it? And he goes, once if you do it right and mean it. And I was like, oh, okay. So I can tell stories about my ex-husband and our 12-month and 11-day marriage all day long. Like, let's go deep. Do you want to hear the nitty-gritty, the things that were set? Like, I have a great memory, which is a blessing and a curse,
Absolutely.
but I'm not triggered by it. So when you tell those stories and you start really feeling that emotion again, you're hanging on to it.
That is amazing. And I grew up Catholic and I actually never heard of that.
I've never found anybody who heard it, but he told me it was called I need to Google it now or ChatGPT. The Catholic healing of memories is what he told. But like all these things work. And that's the
Love
one
it.
thing I think is so amazing about the space you and I are in. It all works.
It all works if you work it, right? Helping people to discover, and this is where it's very individual, what does true relaxation look like for you? It's different for you, then it's different for me, it's different for my husband, it's different for my neighbor. What is true relaxation for you? And that's where I think we need to have that cornucopia, as you said, of tools, right? We need to have a bunch of things in the toolkit. Oh, how about this? Have you tried this one? Oh, how about this? Have you tried this? Right. And this, and then the beautiful thing is when you hit on something, right? And somebody goes, you know what? Since I've been doing that gratitude practice, my conversation with my husband has been a lot better. Great, right? little things like that, which hopefully lead to some bigger shifts and changes. But we got to start with so many people, as you know, who haven't done the work, who are beginners in the space. And I think you hit on that a lot with your audience too, where you just, you're putting things out there to say, let's see what works, right?
Let's see what works. Oh my gosh, Kathleen, this has been the greatest conversation, and our pre-conversation was amazing. Thank you for being here, and thank you for sharing all your wisdom with my audience. Do you have any final last words?
You are amazing. This was so delightful. I have to tell you, I was a little nervous coming on and a little intimidated, but you made me relax. And thank you so very much for that. I will say this, whether you're following Jennifer or you're learning about me or anyone else who's on these types of programs, I like to say, discover the missing pieces to your peace. Okay? And if we can help you to do that somehow, some way, you can check out my website. I am having an event coming up in Tampa. We're going to be doing a glow in the dark yoga event in Tampa. I don't have the date yet, but as soon as I do, I'll be sure to let Jennifer know about it. Maybe she'll help me, give it a little bit of airtime.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll drop that in the show notes when we get a link for that. Kathleen, this has been delightful. I'm so glad we got to spend some time together. I'm Jennifer Takagi, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Thank you for taking your time to spend with me on this latest podcast of Destined for Success. Please take a moment to leave a review, share it with a friend, and subscribe and get the newest episodes every Monday morning. I'm Jennifer Takagi, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.